The following is a presentation of the First United Methodist Church of Pittsfield, Massachusetts. We are a caring and inclusive church, seeking to know Christ and share grace with our community. We worship at 10:30 on Sunday mornings in our sanctuary at 55 Fenn Street in Pittsfield, and on our website at fumcpittsfield.org. We hope that you are blessed as you listen to this message.
No. No. No! I won't open that door. I won't. Why, just earlier, I saw it. I can't even think of it. I can't conceive of it. Just earlier, I saw, or I thought I saw, my old partner, Mr. Jacob Marley. His face on the knocker on the other side of that very door. The very door on which you just heard that infernal noise. You heard the noise, right? Did you hear that, or was it just me? Or was it, maybe it was weak old deviled eggs. Maybe it was the eggs. You know, I was having a dream just now about that very same man, Mr. Jacob Marley, my old partner. That must have been why I woke just now with such a fright and an imagined racket. Marley was calling out to me. He was weighed down by chains, and in the dim candlelight of my dreams, I saw him crawling toward me, unable to stand, croaking out his regrets, the regrets of his life. But I say, what regrets should such a man as he have? He lived. He worked hard. He earned money. He grew wealthy. What had he to regret? What had he to mourn? Those fellows who can't pay their bills, right? Those who got hauled off to debtor's prison. They live in chains of their own making, their ineptitude, their laziness, their sloth. Chains they have forged, their own ignorant forging. And you know what? They only get what they deserve. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. And that's not on Marley's soul. and not on mine, nor on anyone else but their own lazy selves. Sir, no, sir, no! And yet I can't shake this dream. Jacob was crawling toward me, croaking out words, saying, Ebenezer, my old partner, do you see this chain? I wear the chain I forged in life. Link by link, I made it, yard by yard. I forged it. Willingly, I took it on, my own free will. But Marley was a man of business, not a man of fancy. And yet he cried out to me in my dream. He said, business, business, mankind was my business. Compassion, benevolence, charity, mercy, these were my business. Humbug. Business is my business, not this fanciful compassion that builds no character in those who come begging at my door. Hear me, the dream Marley yelled. Hear me, I am here tonight to warn you that you have yet a chance to escape my fate, a chance that I have procured for you, my dear friend Ebenezer. And yet I need heed no ghost of my sleeping. I am awake now, alive in this world of dirt and concrete and steel. And my life is muscle and sinew and bone. All of these things are real. They can be touched. They can be felt. They are not the stuff of dreams. And yet that part of me that lives maybe forever within the realm of dreams, in a state of dream, says to me, may not this be a warning true? May it not be that Marley has somehow come in etherealness and in truth to save me? Humbug. Although it does remind me, it does remind me of a story I heard once in my youth, in a church I attended when I was a child. The rector was a droning man whose opinions were as wasteful as can be. Give to the poor, open your doors, feed those who you meet. Bah, humbug. But he told a story of a rich man and a poor. And both men, if I recall correctly, died. But then the story grew strange. I mean, instead of being rewarded for his hard work, his industriousness, his dedication to his business, in other words, instead of reaping what he sowed, the rich man, yes, if you can believe it, the rich man was sent to torment and damnation. And it was the poor man, the one who didn't work, the one who didn't labor, who was called to the angels and to paradise. Bah, I say again, bah, humbug. How could it be? How could it be that the one who worked his entire life is sent to torment, and the one who did not was raised to glory? What kind of God doesn't value hard work above everything else? What kind of God rewards those who didn't earn it? I pay my debts. I earn my reward. No one gives me, Ebenezer Scrooge, anything. I mind my business. And everyone else should keep their noses out of my business. And yet it grows late. Perhaps once more to sleep. Marley again. Oh, my word. Marley again. Another dream. Even more earnest this time. Somehow more real. He stood by the front of my chair just here with a giant book in his hands. And he opened the book and he read to me, saying, "And when you were dead in the trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him when he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross." He said to me, "You wanted to know what kind of God would reward those who don't earn it? Our God. Our God. Our Savior." He rattled his chains under my nose. He said, "You, Scrooge, if you don't listen, if you don't heed this warning I give, your chains will be stronger, heavier, more burdensome even than my own. You must accept this, because, my dear fellow, you have not earned it. But God will give it to you anyway. My cash box is full. My safe has plenty. My business thrives. How then can you say to me, Jacob Marley, that I have not earned it?" And he replied, and I woke with a start, with his words ringing in my ears. I hear them still, his voice raspy, full of pain and longing, full of remorse, full, if you can believe it, of fear for me. He said, "Because what you value, my old partner, is not what God values." Can it be so? Can I have been so wrong all this time? In that story, the one that I remember from my ineffective old rector of my childhood, I remember something that Father Abraham said, staring across the chasm to the rich man's place of torment. He said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things, but now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And didn't Marley himself, just in my dream a few moments ago, did he not say to me, 'Business? Mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, and benevolence were all my business.' Could I have gotten it all wrong all this time? Is it possible? Is it just possible that our business, the business of humanity, isn't to make the most money or get the most things or have the most power or be the strongest, but just the opposite?" I remember once a young man who was leaning against the wall of my office, right under the sign that said Scrooge and Marley. And as I walked into my office one morning, he spoke out to me saying, "Please, sir, will you give some money for charity?" Right there, out in front of God and everyone, he asked me for money. And what could I say, of course, but no, of course not. "And no," he said, "this insolent man, he said, it's not for me. You see, this family, they were caught in a fire. And all that they'd had, they lost. We're not asking for money for me, but for this man and his wife and their daughter." "Bah, humbug. Get them to a workhouse. Let them sleep in the gutter. All along the streets of London, newspapers blow up and down the street. Let them use those as their blankets at night." And he replied with a look of disgust, if you can believe it, not directed toward the poor and homeless, but toward me. Disgust directed at me. I have money in my pockets. I have a roof over my head. I have a bed and blankets. I've got coal for my fire. And yet his disgust was leveled at me. But I think now of that story, that old damnable story. And I wonder if that might have been the same look that Father Abraham showed this nameless rich man as he looked across the chasm separating them, the unbreachable chasm, and said, "Besides all this, between you and us, our great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so. And those who want to cross from there to us cannot." If Abraham were there at that moment, might he have said to this young, nameless man, "You, sir, will be welcomed into the place of the angels, while you, sir, me, you understand me, Ebenezer Scrooge, who works all day, who never takes a day off, who earns, who lives, who pays his debts in full, while you, sir, will have no place among the angels." Why, dear sir, why? And it seems to me, even now, wakeful as I now am, that I hear a voice, not mine, not Marley's, not Father Abraham's, but a voice stern and full of power. Yet somehow, despite the harshness of his words, full of love and sadness, saying to me, "For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Truly, I tell you, just as you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me." In my wakeful hours now, I stand here at a precipice, and it seems that I have much to learn. 3 weeks of learning to go, in fact. But I have learned something today. Today I have learned that God's values are not our values. That we value a currency of money, of cash, of jewelry, of cars and cell phones and laptops and drones and all of the things that we can acquire to make ourselves smile and to make our friends jealous of what we have. But God in heaven has a different set of values. God's values, well, it's simple, really, because God values you. And God values you. And God values you. And God values you. And God values you. God values you. God values you. And you know what? God even values me, miserly, miserable old fellow that I am. And so we have a decision, and it is also a simple decision, if not a simple action. Our decision is whether we will follow our values, human values, or God's values. Will we value the things that we can acquire and amass? Or will we value each other? Will we give for each other? Will we sacrifice for each other? In human economy, we, each other, our sisters and brothers in Christ, are the competition, the ones against whom we compare ourselves so that we can say, "Am I better than you, or are you better than me? Can I befriend you, or do I need to tear you down?" But in God's economy, each other, our sisters and brothers in Christ, are treasures, the ones we love, the ones we cherish, and the ones who cherish us. We need to live in God's economy. There's enough going on in the world. Enough pain and enough suffering, enough competition, enough factioning and fracturing. Let's not add to it. Let us reach out to each other in compassion, in mercy, in gentleness, in kindness, and most of all, in love. Remembering that in God's economy, human beings aren't currency. Human beings are art and poetry, and creations in wondrous diversity, established in enduring patience and promise, and saved by the relentless and unconquerable and unmerited grace of God. What do you call a God who rewards those who don't earn it? We call that God, our God. The one who saved us when we didn't earn it, and the one who continues to save us over and over again, though we never could earn it. Even a rascally old fellow like Ebenezer Scrooge. What do we call our God who rewards us even though we will never earn it? We call him Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, whose love is for each of us, even a miserly old fellow like Ebenezer Scrooge. Will you pray with me? God of all gods, we give you thanks this morning. We reach out to you from our places of selfishness and insecurity, from our miserliness and our refusal to help and to love one another, when we ask that you melt our hearts, that you thaw our emotions, that you give us the strength and the courage and the love to reach out across the chasm, to touch each other, to help each other, to heal each other, and to show each other grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Testing. As you can see up there, it says delays. It's not delays. The memo didn't read delays, so I'm reading for delays, please. Our first reading is taken from Galatians 6:7. 6:7. Make no mistake, God is not mocked. A person will harvest what they plant. I'll repeat. Make no mistake, God is not mocked. A person will harvest what they plant. The second reading is Colossians 2:13-14. Colossians 2:13-14. When you were dead because of the things you had done wrong, and because your body wasn't circumcised, God made you alive with Christ and forgave all that things you had done wrong. He destroyed the record of the debt we owed with its requirements that worked against us. He canceled it by nailing it to the cross. Gospel reading taken from Luke 16:19-31. Luke 16:19-31. You may stand if you are able. There was a certain rich man who clothed himself in a purple and fine linen, and he was feasted luxury every day. At his gate lay a certain poor man named Lazarus, who was covered with sores. Lazarus longed to eat the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Instead, dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried by angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also was buried. While being tormented in the place of the dead, he looked up and saw Abraham at a distance with Lazarus at his side. He shouted, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during the lifetime you received good things, whereas Lazarus received terrible things. Now Lazarus is being comforted and you are in the great pain. Moreover, a great crevasse has been fixed between us and you. Those who wish to cross over from here to you cannot. Neither can anyone cross from there to us." The rich man said, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house. I have five brothers. They need to warn them so that they don't come to this place of agony." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They must listen to them." The rich man said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will change their hearts and lives." Abraham said, "If they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, then neither will they be persuaded if someone rises from the dead." Let me repeat the last one. Abraham said, "If they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, then neither will they be persuaded if someone rises from the dead." The word of God for the people of God.
This has been a presentation of the First United Methodist Church of Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Thank you for listening, and God bless.